Yeah, I think that we're in the time that God's ready to pour out His Spirit like we've never seen before. We're going to have it. That we are where we're at because we haven't had it. So many have been trained in the ways of men to fill positions in the church, and no, we are to be empty. You know, how can he fill something that's already full? You know, so Lord is redoing things, and I trust him. How about you? All right, this is 11:5:23, and this is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. We're going to talk about the apostolic anointing this morning. I'm just going to start reading to you what the Lord gave me, and then I'll add some scriptures to it. Okay. For the church to reach its full potential of revelation, it will have to be connected to an apostle. That isn't a maybe, that is an absolute. All right. Think about the revelation that I gave to Paul, the apostle, the Ephesians and Colossians prayers. Now we're going to read those today because I want you to see it's all about what an inside work that God is doing, what he wants to do inside. We've been looking at for weeks the Holy Spirit given to us. We are a spiritual house. We're not just an institution. The church we know it as today is. That's why we're in the mess we're in. That's why nobody changes under a corporation. Nobody's going to change under rules and regulations. They didn't in Jesus' day, and they won't in this day either. Period. It's not happening. It's caused people to go off the rails. If you heard the broadcast this morning, I got into a little bit of that, of people believing myths and legends over. They're letting go of the Word of God and they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they think they're hearing from God. They are hearing from a God, the God of this world and its system. So the church has been totally infiltrated, I think I can safely say. There may be some pockets here and there, like us, that God's been training to raise up in this new day and this hour, and we are those. That we are new wine skins to receive the new wine to take the new message. The old message won't do. Shipwreck. All right, let's go first to Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 15 here. And I want you to just listen as I read these. It's all about the inside, it's God in us. He's the hope of glory, not our own stuff, not our learning, not all the institutions of learning to try to teach you how to be a pastor or whatever. That's not what it's about. And I'm not saying anything against good institutions that God does send people to. I'm talking on the whole. We've looked to that instead of the one in us. If He called us, don't you think He wants to impart to us what to do? How can a man do that? How can a man do that? He can't. You've been called from the foundation of the world, and God has a plan for you. By you going, taking some course, or you going to here, you know, go to some school because it's prestigious. I'm talking Bible school. How can God impart to you what He wants you to do? No man can do that. Even though there's good men and they have revelation from the Holy Spirit to help along the way, the only one that really knows you inside out and knows everything is God. Jesus went to the wilderness. Paul went to the backside, to Arabia for 15 years or however. Okay. Jesus didn't send the disciples to Bible school. He showed them by example, right? He taught them. Hands-on experience, out in the field ministry. Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants you to know about him. Not somebody who thinks they know about God. From him direct. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Wouldn't you think that those he has called, that we should be asking him about that calling? He doesn't charge you a thing, but it costs you everything. Think about it. You lay on the altar. You nail yourself to the cross, or you pick it up and carry it. You decide, okay, God, I'm all in. It's in your court, and I'm following you. You're calling the shots. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? This isn't about learning stuff in books. This is about the power of God in us. Who he is. What's he wanting to do? The sons of God to be revealed, right? Now, what was that part of that song this morning about the manifestation of the sons of God? That God, this earth needs to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Just like in Jesus' day, the people breathed a sigh of relief because their Savior had come. They were under tyranny, within and without, by the Roman government and the Sanhedrin. They were vipers. Anywhere you looked, they had a bad deal. And Jesus chose to come at such a time as that. Why? He didn't say, well, I'm going to overthrow the Roman government and set up my government. That's what's happening in Israel right now. That's why the Christians are so squirreled up about it. Because they don't know the spiritual part of it. All they know is the physical crap we have been pushed. This is a spiritual house. This is not a nation to set up a government to overthrow the world. That's what they want to do over there, the Khazarian Mafia, the Sanhedrin, if you will. That's their plan. That's not God's plan. Never has been. And the sooner Christians get that thinking out of their system, the better off they'll be and the more they can go forward and see what's really true. We're Jews, if you want to put it that way. We are Israel. We're spiritual Israel, and that includes Jews, Greeks, bond, free, slave, male, female. But that's not what makes us who we are. It's Jesus. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. In other words, Jesus was placed over every authority. I don't care who it is, the greatest Bible teacher you've ever known or the greatest world leader you've ever known. He's above it. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. All things. If he had been in charge, all things, we wouldn't be in this mess. Which is his body. Yeah. His body hasn't realized who they are. They don't know who they are. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So his body is supposed to be full of him. Let's go on to chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we learn, at His feet. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not something that you earn. It's not something that you have degrees after your name to attain. Not of works, lest any man should boast. My church is bigger than your church. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're a spiritual house. Now go to Ephesians 3. For this cause, verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant to you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Well, I thought if I had all this book learning, you know, that's all I needed. I'm a theologian. We don't need any more theologians. We need those that are sitting at His feet, learning about Him. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. This is where our power is. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, one of the things that kind of irks me, and I know God does lead in that area sometimes, but someone gets a revelation and they'll go write a book. They want everybody to read it. Well, those revelations are for that person. Because we're all different. We all have different lanes. And somebody grabs a hold of that book and runs with it and tries to make it work and do things. It's just a dead work, y'all. It's a means of making money. You know, I'm not faulting those if they are following the Spirit in that, but I've come to know that, you know, being daddy taught will help us stay out of all these little rotes that we get into. Like Paul said, you say you're of Paul and you're of this Cephas, and you know. And I used to remember that. We used to go, you know, with other couples, and I wanted to get on the Hagen bandwagon, and another get on the Copeland bandwagon. Well, no, you know, Charles Capps, and no, this one or that one. And we're like Polly want a cracker. We had the right words, but we didn't have the power. Maybe they had the power, but we didn't. We just had a bunch of regulations we were following. These are the things of men. Now, I know the Lord told me about the only person He ever recommended that if I had a question about something that I could go and look in some of His books was Brother Hagin. I don't know how many books he's got, but he was just very, very simple and very, very practical, and he's helped a lot of people. In that case, I can see God used that. But Brother Hagin was very humble. He knew where his power was, and he didn't push that he was anything. There's a few. But what I'm saying is, just like the Lord told us, I'm not going to teach you, and you know, even though me reading after an apostle, because I didn't even know what an apostle was really, and I didn't know anything about it. So the Lord's allowed me to read some books to kind of get an idea of what actually the office, the function is. And I'm grateful for that, because I didn't have any clue, much less being one. And so I'm thankful for that. But the Lord said, I'm going to show you the way I want you to do it for you. Even though what they've done is noble, that's what I told them to do. Even in that, you have to be careful, because you have to realize they're not going to maybe do it the way C. Peter Wagner did it or some other apostle. It's going to be the way God tells you to do it. And whatever he has called you to do, it's going to be the way he deals with you and talks to you and shows you. Now, to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, our gifting's inside of us, that it's the power of God for your calling. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end, amen. See, the world's taken the Vatican. Oh, it's the place. Oh, it's a cesspool and a den of vipers is what it is. But men, it was pushed to us like, oh, you know, the Catholic Church. It was God's representative in the earth. Heck no, God of this world's representative in this earth, and that's no slight on Catholics. They were led astray just like all of us. Right? All right, 4. Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We can't do it without him. Don't matter how many degrees you have after your name, how much experience you've had. Without God's Spirit, it's a no-go. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. And here's the order. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's the only building we need to see. Christ. The fullness of the stature of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but streaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now these are revelations from Paul the apostle. He also gave us a revelation about the armor of God. God gave him that. One more. This is Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 9. Man, he did a complete work. It's all inside. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Don't let anybody talk you out of what God has shown you. Don't ever let go of that. I don't care who they are and what they say. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's not no some temple over there in Israel. I'm sorry. That's the deep state. And we won't get into that today. But everybody that's sitting here today knows about that. All right. This revelation was given to Paul for the Gentile churches that he was associated with. To not have apostolic oversight, that connection, that includes insight that takes people from covered to uncovered, from hidden to unhidden, from veiled to unveiled. This is a supernatural ability given to the apostle to take people to higher dimensions in God. Now do you understand why the church is not on board as a whole? Only those that are connected to apostle will be walking in this line. Do I need to read that again? Okay. This revelation was given to Paul for the Gentile churches that he was associated with. To not have apostolic oversight, that connection that includes insight that takes people from covered to uncovered, from hidden to unhidden, from veiled to unveiled. This is a supernatural ability given to the apostle to take people to higher dimensions in God. It's not possible. That's why they don't see. That's why they haven't opened their eyes. Without the apostolic anointing in the church, what is hidden will remain so. What is covered will remain so. What is veiled will remain so. The church of today is in this condition. Even the best among them are. For the church to move forward, the apostle must be allowed to step up to the rightful places. Now you can understand why the church is not rightly discerning the times about really anything. They are not even relevant for today. I remember one of my daughters, church she went to and really liked for a long time, and she said, I didn't go for a long time, and I went back just to see if he had a clue. And she said, he didn't have a clue. Even some of the books that she'd read and people she esteemed highly, they don't have a clue. They're pastors with no apostolic oversight. I didn't write it. Okay, just so you know. When the apostles rise to the rightful place, then and only then can things begin to get in order. This is how God will do it. And he's already told us about his teams. He's raising up all over the United States and the world to start proclaiming their message. We're doing ours on Faith Avenue at this time. Whoever else listens gets a hold of these teachings. And others, however God chooses for their voice to go forward. I know Mike Thompson in Nevada, him and CK, they're on YouTube. Their Sunday meetings are on YouTube for everybody to tune into it. He's been on Elijah List and different places where his voice can be heard. I don't know about anybody else at this time. The Lord's not revealed. That's the only one he's revealed to me is Mike Thompson. And he doesn't agree with me, and I probably don't agree with him on things. I'm not saying he doesn't agree with me. I don't agree with everything he says, but it doesn't make any difference. He has an apostolic call. He's still going to stay in his lane. He's going to do his part. I'm going to do the part the Lord's given me to do, right? Don't have to agree. He does have the apostolic oversight. Okay. And he hasn't just wet behind the ears. The man's been in ministry for over 40 years. So. All right, when the apostles rise to their rightful place, then and only then can things begin to get in order. The revelation they have will bring order. The old order will be removed so that my order can begin. I heard somebody ask a question on a chat that I was listening to. And they wanted, I shared this with Danny, they wanted to bombard their precincts in the state that they're from, in their area, and try to get things changed. And he cautioned them, don't do that. Until the corruption's gone, all it's going to do is get you in trouble. There's just enough out there that they can still stir up some things and make life a living hell for you. Just like some people that went to D.C., if they just showed up, they went to jail. They didn't do anything. They didn't even go in the Capitol. This particular man I'm talking about, he was warned. He stayed in another little town further, and he said he had a marshal that's a friend of his say, get out, leave now, drop everything you're doing, get out of here. See, God protected him because they even came to people's houses. I know Melissa Redpill, they came to her front door. The Fed did. She said, you leave my house now. You're not going to do anything here. And they left. They have no power or authority. They just pushed their weight around because they're used to it, bullying people. Why I got off on that, I don't know. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Isn't that what the Lord told you about the raising up an army, praying in an army of intercessors so that they could pray in God's order so that God's government can raise up out of that order, right? Yeah. For my church to move the way I want it to, this order will have to be maintained. All right, we're going to look at that. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This old thing that's been put on, that operates in the church of mistreatment. If you're not proven by their court that you belong there or you haven't done it their way, you are blackballed and you are rejected. The days of that are over. I mean, their institution might go on until God tears it down. But that kind of stuff, see, we are Father God called. We are not man called. Their system is your daddy called or man called. Daddy called, I mean, well, my dad was a preacher and grandpa was a preacher and great-grandpa was a preacher, so I guess I have to be a preacher. No, not necessarily. But if you don't come up in their chain of command or how they think you ought to do it, they reject you. God's ministers are being rejected all through the body of Christ just because of that kind of stuff, me included. Now, I don't care. You get in my face and tell me I'm not doing the work of God, I'm going to call you a bald-faced liar because that is the truth. I'm going to say, I follow God from this point on and I haven't veered. Anyway, I don't have to answer to you anyway. You have to take that stand when it comes to what God has called you to do, and don't you ever let anybody talk you out of it. I don't care what you see or don't see. If you're going to go by what you see, you just might as well throw in the towel today. I could probably count on one hand the real legitimate letters that I've even received from being on television 15 years and on radio 8 years. If I was going to gauge that as being a success, I would have thrown in the towel years ago. It's not about your success. It's about the body of Christ's success. This is about my part in the body. It's about fulfilling the part of my body that I don't give up when this organ needs to work. This organ's working. Now, the others may be having malfunctions because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. We got to get it. We are one. And we have moving parts like a body. Not, I'm better than you. Who are you? Well, who are you? This stuff has got to go. All right, I'm going to read to you. This is 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Don't let anybody tell you if you're the little finger, you're not of significance because they're the brain or something. You just let something happen to that little finger. And you'll find out how the body acts when one, you stump your toe or something like that. What happens? The whole body rushes to help that member. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Don't let anybody tell you you're not. If God says you are, then you hold to that and don't you let go. It don't matter what they say or think. I don't care who they are. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? One day you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you to do? Lord, I took it and I ran with it. I didn't care what anybody thought. I just did what you told me to do. And he said, well done. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? I remember Brother Copeland saying, if all the Lord ever tells you to do is to take out the trash, he said, it'll be the most glorious trash out taking there is. He was just giving an analogy about, it's men that put people in classes, and this is better, and that's not as good, and that's why Paul said, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. That's not wise. Because God has picked what you are to do, and he wants you to be happy in it. And graced in it. Because you know what? When it comes to the end of the day, it don't matter if you did a bunch or did little. If you obeyed, you get the same reward. Obedience. I remember, I think it was Brother Hagin talking about whenever it comes to the time to give out awards, all these big preachers, they had these big churches and all this big following, they're going to be standing up there straightening up the tie, you know. And here comes this little grandma, 80-something-year-old grandma back here that was on her knees praying. She comes to the first of the line, and she gets the best reward. Think about that. This isn't a competition, but it has been made so. We esteem one highly than the other. Well, a lot of them esteemed little prophets are now backtracking. They backtrack. And now nobody, they're not credible. They're like John Marks. They won't be credible for a long time. They'll have to live down the stigma of speaking, thus saith the Lord. And when Trump didn't get in office, what happened? You never heard of him anymore. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? If we all did what you did and you think you're right about everything, then what about the rest of the body? It's going to pot because it don't have any help. Y'all get it? And if they were all one member, where were the body? Just a big old nose out there, a big old eyeball out there. Like the Monsters, Inc., that Mike with one big eye. But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. See what I'm saying? Nobody has a right to tell you what God's told you to do that we don't have any need of you. If they don't receive you there, go somewhere else. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. In other words, if one area is weak, we go reinforce, not tear down. Well, they ain't got nothing. I know all these years the Lord's had me doing the house churches and just a few people. And I guess it was said to you, well, I guess if you ain't doing nothing, you can come out here. In other words, you ain't got nothing. But woe to those that say those kind of things. I'm telling you what, don't ever discount. I don't care how little it is if God's told somebody to do something. That may be all that God ever tells them to do. If they do with all their heart, God's going to say, well done. That there should be no schism in the body, But the members should have the same care one for another. I would have been content just being a Dorcas. Because that's where my natural inclination is. I like to make stuff. I like to give people stuff. That's what Tabitha did. Lord said, no, I want you to do this. This is not natural for me. I don't. See, because you've got to depend on him. This is supernatural. This is not what's your ability to do. It ain't about your ability, so just get over that. It's about his ability in you, Christ in you, his giftings in you, his grace in you. I got to get a Kleenex. All right. And whether one body suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. See, when we get in line, then this is where I believe the love's going to begin to flow, and it's going to keep us walking the way we should. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity and become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. In other words, if we get out of this order and start thinking we're better than you and all these attitudes, that's why Paul wrote this about love. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. In other words, I can get puffed up because I have maybe a bigger gift and lots of things happen because we tend to do that. Glorify those that are working the miracles and doing all this stuff as opposed to those that are on their knees praying. Right? Isn't that the way it's always been? You never know about those behind the scenes. But God sees them. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long this kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but rather there be prophecies, they shall fail. Rather there be tongues, they shall cease. Rather there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And then Paul says this, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's time for the church to put away the childishness. It's time to quit being a Toys R Us church. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. It's the way this body is supposed to move. Different working parts, but they move as one. Act as one. All right. Time for the church to grow up and get in divine order and no longer fight among themselves, but take the higher road. All right. This is the Lord speaking here. When my apostles are in place, my body will move as one. The apostle has, as part of the office and anointings that go with it, the ability to dig up those pearls of great price out of my word. Pastors have their place, but they cannot take the church where the apostles can. The new heights and dimensions in the Spirit. Paul said that he would come to revelation in the Lord. As the 17 county pastors of the churches begin to get into line with the apostolic anointing, they will come to a higher level in me. All these many years you've been hearing about the oasis in the desert. Well, this is it. They had not been able to see it before. It was veiled, hidden, obscured from their eyes. Now you can have a fuller understanding of why so many Christian leaders are unaware of what is really going on. I cannot trust my revelation to those that are not commissioned to carry it, my apostles. This is how the new guard will advance forward. All right, these are my thoughts here about what the Lord said there. Whether or not the people receive it or not is immaterial. If the apostles do not step up and obey God, how can the people be blamed unless, of course, they refuse the word of God's instruction? In Paul's ministry, the thorn in the flesh was the stirring up of church leaders and Jewish leaders against him wherever he went. If one group would not receive him, he went to another. In this respect, the modern-day apostles can do no less. That's what God told them, Jesus told them, when he first sent the disciples out. You know, if they won't hear you, just shake off the dust of your feet and go to who will. All right, I want to turn over to Hosea chapter 4. If I can find it. Where are you? Somebody tell me where Hosea is. Oh, I see it, right after Daniel. Sometimes my tabs hide from each other, hide under another one. All right. Chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. Sounds like the Babylonian, the whore on the beast, saying, I've done nothing wrong. She killed and drank their blood and all this stuff. Oh, I've done nothing wrong. Committed adultery with every leader. I've done nothing wrong. And there shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom, and they shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for they themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people doth not understand, that don't understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet not Judah offend, and come not ye into Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a black sliding heifer, now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their drink is sour, they have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Does this sound familiar? Sounds like where we live today. Same old cycle. The devil has one drum he beats. Don't he steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. He never changes. And he'll do it till he's put in that pit. Because when he gets out in 1,000 years, what's going to happen? He's going to, here we go again. Beat the same old drum. But it says that insurrection is going to be squelched quickly. Fire comes out from heaven. All right. Well, now, this is more on a personal note, but I think you'll understand. What happened in Blanton Elementary School on that Sunday morning is just what Hosea is talking about. I surely did not know then what I know now. If I had, I would have handled it very differently, but it projected to me what the apostles deal with within and without. You're not even safe among your own company, or what I thought was my company. Regardless, is they will hear or reject the word of God from his apostles, it's immaterial to me if they do or if they don't. They make their choice. But for those who listen and receive, there will be rewards. We have seen the repercussions of that day already. Out of the group that rebelled that morning, one husband passed away within 2 years. Four passed away in their early 60s. Well, two of those were not in that company. It was a later one. Two divorced. Two came back 2 years later and apologized for their part in the insurrection, and I think they're okay. This is not about me personally. This is about the apostolic call on my life. God takes it personally when people abuse his gifts. The message that I bring is not my personal message, even though I believe it, embrace it, and walk in it. It is about God's message to his church, present her without spot and wrinkle. Our former pastor said that they believe that God sent them out here to raise up this ministry. They are clueless to this day what that ministry even is. I can't tell them a thing. They won't listen. Why? They're not under apostolic headship. They can't see the truth. The first Sunday in our house before this same group of people, the Lord said to Daddy that this was the resurrection of his church. His church. God, it's God's church, right? Whether anyone likes the messenger God has chosen, who he's chosen is of no consequence. But the message that comes forth, it is from God. Believe it or not, that is up to you and God. God, like Paul, called me, and I've been called by no man. I don't have to ask, have anyone's approval to fulfill what God has called me to do any more than Paul did. I'm not going to ask your permission. I remember saying something to someone, a pastor's wife, said something about the prophet's office, and I could just feel it like, oh, you know, that started down that road where, like, I need to ask permission, or, well, you better be qualified and everything. I'm thinking, I don't answer to you. I don't answer to you. Nor will I ever. Unless the Lord says, you answer to her. You understand? Those days of that kind of garbage is over. It will be the work of the apostles that God is raising up with their counterparts, the prophets, that will make the church great again. We have a vision, and we have one mind to get God's vision done, because the previous bunch and the generations back got away from it. Here is some insight into the life of Paul the Apostle. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Verse 1, there, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So Paul was very zealous. He was very religious and very zealous. God saw greatness in Paul because of that very fact. He's just on the wrong side. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. And there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. I tell you what, that day in the gym for me was, I felt like I was kicked off my donkey for sure. And I didn't want to get back up. I went to bed. Only thing I could do was cry. And then I had a dream. Lord said, get up out of that bed and quit acting like that. You didn't do a thing wrong. I said, oh, if I'd have known then what I know now. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That day in the gym, there was one lady that did come over to me. And she said, just consider the source that you heard all this today about. Because the Lord is the one that gave her a prophecy about setting his people free from the strongholds of their minds. And I'm thinking, why didn't she stay, Lord? I don't know. But she had a revelation. In fact, several of them did. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them that which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength. He confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Now this is it within now. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed that he was not, that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputed among the Grecians, but they were about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Everywhere he went. I mean, everywhere he went. I'm telling you, I'm not teaching a different message. I mean, we've had lots of revelation expounding on things, but basically the same types of things that I started out with, I'm still doing. Hadn't changed. God's not changed it. People don't like it. They might actually have to be responsible. They might actually have to do something. They might actually have to pray for themselves. They might actually have to rebuke a demon now and then for themselves. Instead of, it's always the preacher's got to do it. Or CBN. All right. It did not matter if they heard or they didn't. It did not stop him. Right here, we don't hear about Paul again until Acts chapter 13. After this portion right here, after he gets knocked off his donkey and all that happens. Right here. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lysias of Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, a sorcerer, was so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul also, who's called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." So this was when they started their missionary journey, and they started running into all kinds of friction. If you read that whole chapter, he began to have the people that weren't born again wanting to kill him, and he just got away from those in the church that wanted to kill him. It wasn't much. It didn't stop him, did it? That's what I mean. Either you receive the message or you don't. You're the one that's going to ultimately suffer for that, not me. Yeah. It didn't matter if they heard it or they didn't. It didn't stop him. From within and from without, the devil continued to buffet him. The buffeting, no matter what the buffeting is, don't let it stop you. All right, 2 Corinthians 12. And it wasn't just Paul, it was his team also. All right, verse 7. "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong." So you could say there, this messenger of Satan, all these things could fit into it. Infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. All right. It means to rap with the fist. Kind of like, you know, you see the boxers with the deal, and they're going like this, you know, they're doing all this. They're hitting that little deal with their fist like that. That's the way that it's portrayed, that word. All right. All right. Vines here, that word, kolophizo, I guess it is, to strike with clenched hands. Some believe that this was not sickness, but harassment from people. I agree and disagree. In some respects it was, but not all. And we're going to see that scripture. It is a buffeting by whatever means to stop the message from going forth. I personally believe it differs with each person. Infirmities, right here, we're going to read about infirmities. This first one is Romans chapter 8. Whatever guise it comes in, it is harassment. It is harassment to try to get you to stop. All right, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I found with myself, I mean, I praise the Lord, and sometimes that helps. But if I can get alone and just pray in the Spirit for a length of time, it usually relieves. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All right? This will help you. Infirmities there means feebleness of body or mind, malady or mortal frailty. Feebleness of body or mind, malady, mortal frailty. He's not going to go and buffet you where you're strong. Only an idiot would do that. Yeah. So what does the Holy Ghost do? It helps reinforce where you're weak. All right. These are weak areas in your body. Paul talks about it quite a lot. Did Jesus take all sickness on his back? Yes, he did. When we are attacked, then, what are we dealing with? A messenger of Satan sent to buffet. You're being wrapped with the fist in a certain area. It is the devil, not an actual sickness. Unless you give voice to it and speak it, you can make it a reality if you want to. But the fact is, he already took it. He took it before he went to the cross. So here's more of that false evidence appearing real. What? To deter you. To stop you. To beat you up till you finally say, I give up. I'm not going to keep doing this. I wish I had written down all the ministers that have come into this area and stayed a year or two and left. I think they probably got some beatings, you think? You think they might have been buffeted just a little bit, maybe? All that old desert, because you just can't do nothing out there. It's just a hard ground, blah, blah. Now, you're just weenies is what you are. Maybe it takes being from out here to be able to stay here. Because you're tough. Go back to your wimpy part of the state. I don't care. But you know what? They're going to answer to God. He'll say, why didn't you stay? Well, it was too hard. So, didn't I tell you I gave you my grace? Wait, there's not going to be any excuses, y'all. We need to quit fighting the hand we've been dealt, okay? Is this taking up his cross and following? All right. Did Jesus take all the sickness? Yeah, he took it on his back. All right, I read that. All right, let me read some more scriptures. 2 Corinthians 11. I'm just hoping I can get y'all to an understanding that you won't feel so bad about it. You know, it's all part of the program. Because that's what keeps most people from obeying God. Something happens and it's too hard and they quit. Because they think, you know, when you get born again, everything is just like you're like playing harps on clouds. I mean, that ain't going to happen. That isn't the way it is. I wished, which I don't want to play harps on clouds anyway, but you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, when you follow the Lord, it's just so peaceful and great and wonderful. And, you know, it's not even a reality. We're in warfare. As long as the devil's here in our sphere, which was our fault, by the way, once he's here in our sphere, we have to take care of it, right? We're here to occupy the territory he's stolen, and he's not going to roll out the red carpet. Well, the sons of God are here. Let's just roll out the red carpet, and they just scatter. I don't think so. Hadn't seemed to work that way. Now the day, you know, when things change and he goes in the pit, that'll be that way. All right. 2 Corinthians 11:30. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artemas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. He's just bringing the gospel. All right. It is not expedient, 12, for me to doubtless to glory, for I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man of Christ above 14 years ago, rather in the body, cannot tell, rather out of the body, cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, rather in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. He that was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Yeah. Lord knows. You know, I don't know all you're going through, and y'all don't know what I go through, but still, God's grace is still sufficient, right? All right. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul wasn't the only one that saw trouble. There's others too. 1 Timothy 5:23. Says here, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. This is one of the elders there having a hard time with stuff. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that the same thing he told Paul? Lord, I'm having a tough time. I need your grace. Thank you for your grace. I was given, this is my, about me, I was given by God a revelation about a certain ribbon campaign, and I've experienced buffeting because of it. A few years ago, I received a revelation about diagnostic testing in the same area, and I have experienced buffeting because of it. Am I sick? No. Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Am I being buffeted because of the revelation? Yes. Do you get it? The Lord said this to me this week. He said, understand it. He gave me understanding. I've had a week of buffeting. He said, why would you be afraid of something that isn't real? It's point blank. I just thought about it. Took me back to, you know, Tim Allen when his, in that show where the little boy went in the spook house and got scared until his grandpa took him back with the lights on to the spook house and he thought it was a fake spider. And he wasn't afraid anymore. Let me read that again. Why would you be afraid of something that isn't real? It might feel real, but it isn't. It's just false evidence appearing real. Thus the buffeting. Haven't you guessed that the devil's real good at projecting? He's the head of Hollywood. He's projecting his image for you. So you've been going from glory to glory, being transformed into God's image, and he can't stand that, so he's projecting his own image for you. Kill, steal, destroy. That's what all those campaigns are about. It's not about healing anybody. I saw something yesterday. I copied it off. They're warning women not to get mammograms because it's harmful. Everything they do, all their tests, are not to do anything but scare the living daylights out of you. That's how they operate. Fear. False evidence appearing real. They can tell whoever, people I know that go to the doctors all the time, they can tell them whatever they want and they'll just take it hook, line, and sinker and do, well, what procedure should I do? What 50 medicines do I need to take now? I already got 50 now. I've got a jar of M&Ms instead of a bag of M&Ms. That seem extreme? It isn't. It's the truth. All right. Why would you be afraid of something that isn't real? It feels real. What's feelings got to do with it? We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith, right? Then what do? You get a mental picture of how it really is. And that's what you have to focus on. And I suggest, I was having a hard time the other day, and I went out there and pulled out the dead potato vine around the deal and blew off the yard and replaced the lights that don't work. And you know what? It took me completely out of that hole the devil's trying to drag me down through and thinking completely different. Get up and do something. Whatever you got to do to counter it, do it. To want to drag you down, because that's what it's meant to do. All right. It might feel real, but it isn't real. It's just false evidence appearing real, thus the buffeting, like in your face even. Pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. Numbers, what, 33? That's what it is. All right. There is good news, though. All right, right here where we were, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 8 here. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, his strength will come in where your weakness is and uphold you. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, man, I'd rather have God's strength than my weakness, man. So you got to trade places, right? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity. That's why Paul could say it, because he had seen God deliver him in that jail. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. All right, just a little bit more. Grace here. C-H-A-R-I-S is the Greek word. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Gratitude. You got to switch gears. We talked about, we have to prepare a throne for him to sit upon. All right, here's what the vine says, the power and equipment to do ministry. Don't say it's too hard. Don't leave out here if God's told you to come out here and say, well, it's just too hard, just too hard. No, it isn't. He's not going to hear that. It isn't too hard. All right. The power and equipment to do ministry. He does not call you and give you something to do and not give you the grace to do it. Won't happen. Now you can let your mind take you down roads. That's the devil. That's that buffeting. Oh, the grass is greener on the other side. When you get there, you think, what did I come back here for? I didn't do good while I was here before. Oh, I was looking to the past. It was a better time then. No, it wasn't. It was crappy. That's why you left. All right, why are apostles and their teams targeted? First, they're in divine order, and they come to put everything decently and in order, and the devil and his agenda does not fit into any of it. He no longer has a place. That's why Paul was such a threat, running the devil out. All right, from our reading after other apostles and prophets, all of them have experienced the same kinds of things that we are. They were and are over the target, and so are we. Those that are not over the target and are out of order do not. They just have their little comfortable little thing. It's nice. We have our little dramas and, you know, everything's hunky-dory. I'm like Mark Taylor. He said, if all hell hadn't broke loose against you, then you ain't doing anything for God. I think that's more the truth than not. Okay.